on, Norsterkenius. Did you want to come join our cult?
Oh, wow, that was definitely geeked out.
My lord! Let's look into our crystal balls.
Our crystal balls?
Our crystal balls.
Boom, wink.
The finished conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that. And
of course he was.
Yeah.
I was on a postage stamp.
Make it rain salty licorice.
Make our own grapefruit video.
That sounds like my liver trying to escape out my anus.
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 146 of Three in the Box, your Underground Wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Monday, November 27th. This is Aaron. In this episode, we talk about splits, shootouts, slap shots. In the studio with me, as always, Mr. Kenny.
What up?
And across from me, Mr. Jav.
Good evening.
So, how's it? How was Turkey Day for you guys?
I don't know if I'm still got the tryptophan thing going on or if it's just a hangover, too much, too late, lack of sleep from last night.
I think you're too old and you just can't hang anymore.
No more partying on a Sunday night?
That's right. For you, at least.
Well.
I'm feeling great.
I'm feeling all right-ish. Ish.
Just a little just like groggy, like drained. Yeah.
Long day today?
Long day today.
What did you do today?
What did I do today? I actually did a lot. I redid a whole bunch of video, and I sat on a two-hour phone call, conference call.
2 hours? Holy cow. Two-hour phone call.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not fun. Answered a bunch of emails from the past 2 weeks.
I understand. It can be hard to keep your eyes open sometimes.
I'm pretty sure I had 4 hours, at least 4 hours of calls today.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a light day. I've got two, I think, pretty much 8 hour days this week.
Yeah.
So,
I
2 hours, that's child's play, my friend.
Yeah, but when you don't do it all the time, it sucks.
It's plenty.
Yeah. Well, enough about
that. I can take a 16 hour day on my feet more than I can a 2 hour day on the phone.
A 16-hour day on my feet.
Yeah.
Better than 3 hours on your knees.
I wouldn't know anything about that.
All right, enough about Kenny's job.
You asked.
3 hours on
you brought it up, man.
3 hours on his knees.
We got some wild to talk about. Let's do this.
All right. So, the wild week that was. Let's see here. The Wild started out with a wild win in Buffalo. They managed to pull it off there. I mean, they pulled out ahead early, but you know they kept trying to let Buffalo get themselves back into the game. But they did manage to squeak out a win there, 5-4 over the Sabres. We went back and visited Palmerville's out there now. Scandella, are we missing Scandella now? Maybe.
Yeah.
I think we've kind of been missing Scandella for a while.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Like for the season, because yeah. He's no longer with us.
Right.
Well, I think we're missing him, especially after tonight, but we'll get to that.
We'll get to that. Yeah. Yep. The Wild had a tight game then against Colorado. Back here at home, actually. But they were able to win in a shootout over the Avs. Coyle and Stewart with the shootout goals. I thought that was a pretty.
It was nice actually winning a shootout for once. Yes,
winning
a
shootout, not getting like knocked out like within the first minute of OT. You know, that's positive. And then you've got. Let's see here. And then on Saturday night, we probably want to forget, but the Blues, they kind of did us in. Basically, one team kind of looked like they didn't necessarily belong on the ice at the same time.
Oh no!
Yeah, the Wild were blown out by the Blues and Mike Yo. So
another loss at the hands of Yo.
Right.
Oh.
So, You gotta kind of wonder though, is Yo sitting over there laughing at the Wild now?
Yeah. Yep. Evil laughing.
I could see an evil laugh going on over there. And then tonight's game, if anybody didn't tune in, but we got walloped by Winnipeg.
Brutal.
Yeah. I mean, we got off to a quick hot start, you know, a couple of goals. They had one that was called back for the offsides.
Which was questionable, really.
It was, but I see where they called it because his foot was not on the actual ice. So at that point,
yeah,
the only part that is in contact was inside of the zone. So
maybe,
well, that them's the rules, man.
Maybe,
maybe.
What happens if you have really long legs? And your legs were, like, on the other side of the red line.
Well, Coyle's got pretty long legs.
I mean, obviously not red line.
Not
long.
Not red line.
But imagine legs. If you had a player that did. At a certain point, you had to say, it doesn't matter if their foot's on the ice.
Yeah.
Their stride is just so long, they can't help it.
Yeah. Look at that. He's already down at the face-off dots, but he's still got his legs stretched up.
Inspector Gadget playing for the Wild now.
Go-go gadget legs.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be awesome? You could be at, like, the hash marks in there, and you got your leg over. They could just pass it to you, and zoop. In some other world. But, yeah, so that was the Wild week. They played three divisional games this week. But, really, I mean, they kind of fell short. They only gained two divisional points over the week with their win against Colorado. I think that though that was enough to bounce us out of the basement of the division, which is positive. We are now above the Avs by a point, I believe.
For now. It's pretty congested at the bottom of the Central right now.
It is kind of. I mean, I think we're also tied for points with, like, what, Chicago and
I think we've got an extra. We play an extra game or two, I think.
Do we have an extra game on them now?
I think so.
Because for the longest time, we didn't have enough games, right?
Well, that is your
that was our thing. Oh, we got games in hand, right?
Well, that works at the beginning.
Okay, so we're tied in games with Dallas. So, okay. But we have played.
No, we've got more games than Dallas. We've got the same amount of games as St. Louis and the Jets at 24. Dallas is at 23 with Chicago and Nashville, and the Avs are sitting at 22.
Right.
All right. So, anyways, I mean, so we're still. You know, we're in the race. We're still in the middle of the pack. I think you said 24 games, right?
24 games in.
So, you know, we're over a quarter of the season in. So I'm going to say that it's not too early anymore to start talking about this. But what is your confidence level, even if we were to, you know, make it into the playoffs? Do you think this is a Wild team that could go further than the first round?
I mean, right now, defensively, they're just not consistent. I don't think we're a bad team. It's just not consistent. And actually, it goes beyond just defensive. I mean, offensively, we're not scoring goals consistently. We're giving up goals inconsistently, you know? It's where we're not. I can't tell if we're going up or going down. It's just like
right.
A roller coaster.
Roller
you know?
Coaster. it's
not looking good right now. I mean, they can't keep pucks out of the net. They can't put pucks in the net. I mean, they can put pucks in the net. It just happens to be on their own goaltender, which we've seen a few times in the past week.
Yeah.
Well, and many times over the course of the season already.
We always run into the brick walls. I mean, that's just how it is.
Right.
Yeah.
Or the brick wall runs into us.
I wouldn't even say that he was a brick tonight.
No.
Halibut.
Halibut.
I wouldn't even
Howarchuk?
I wouldn't even say he was a brick wall, because I mean, he got scored on twice right off the bat.
Yeah, but
three times technically,
if you
count the non-goal.
If you count the goal that should have been,
you know, it's
get rid of the challenge. Problem solved.
It just defensively, like, guys were out of position. A couple of the Winnipeg goals, I mean, guys are left wide open with nobody even around them.
Yeah, it was quite a open shooting gallery, I would say, out there.
Yeah.
This evening.
No, what was it, through the second they only had 11 shots on goal?
you're not going to score a whole lot if you're only getting 11 shots.
No,
right. You know, through two.
Yeah. And speaking of the shots on goal, I mean, the Wild have been outshot in their last four games. So in their last four games, they haven't managed to muster, you know, more shots than the other team. Now, whether that's offensively, we're not able to get enough shots, or if it's defensively, we're just giving up too many shots. You know, who or what is to blame for this?
I mean, I think the problem is, and I genuinely think this is, that a big problem is that we don't have a net front presence, period.
Offensively or defensively.
Right. No one wants to get in the dirty area, period, whether it's protecting or if it's, you know, attacking. And, you know, sometimes we have Zucker will stand up and do that from time to time. He's not a go to the net right away all the time kind of player. But he does do that at least. But outside of him or Parisi, who's obviously out.
Yeah.
We
haven't even seen him yet this year.
You know, the guys that you would hope would do that a little bit more, or at least threaten to do that, mm-hmm. you know, Coil or Stahl, like bigger guys that could physically handle themselves there, they don't do that. They just sit around in the perimeter. Nino, when Nino scores, he's doing it almost always.
When he's down in that area.
Mm-hmm. And when he's not scoring, he's, you know, playing patty cake along the boards and, you know, not being there to receive a pass or clean up some garbage, you know.
I don't know. I guess for myself, I feel that, you know, on the defensive side of things, that, I mean, we saw it in horrible fashion tonight, just where players were out of position.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it be in a forward or a defenseman, there was countless times where we've got guys that are just hanging out in our zone, you know, wide open. And it's hard to blame, you know, Dubnyk or Stalock on some of these goals when these guys sit out, you know, wide open the face-off, the face-off dots or right up in the slot at the hash marks. It's
not being challenged at all.
Yeah, so those are high probability scoring areas
right.
to start with. And,
right.
And when guys are able to shoot from there unchallenged, I mean,
it's not going to be good results at that point, you know.
No. And so I think that we need to take a little bit better care in our defensive zone for starters. And I think that if we actually were to do that, we might, you know, control play more, and I think that we would end up, you know, having a little bit more offense or more offensive opportunities. I guess, you know, getting it out of our zone too. I've seen
it would help.
I've seen that we've been struggling a lot lately with you know, simple things like breaking out of the zone, which when you can't get out of your zone and you're stuck in your zone, everybody's legs get to be like rubber. It gets hard to find the strength to follow somebody around. And so that's my take on that. But.
Yeah.
All right. So, and also the last couple games, I don't even know what the final tally was tonight for as far as penalty minutes. I know
Quincy a lot. Quincy
had a 10-minute misconduct plus
at least four.
Yeah,
he got four for that, which I don't know how he got four.
Just for why not?
Instigator and
roughing.
Well, yeah, I don't know how.
Just being a general jerk.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he got four. Was it four? Did he get any other penalties? I don't know if he got another two in there somewhere. I think it was just those.
It was just those.
And then, yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of penalty minutes to go around, though. I mean, you had Suter going. You had.
Suter went twice or once?
I think he only went once tonight.
Right.
But he did. Suter went in.
You had Stewart go. You had Dumba go. I know I missed
people. Now, Dumba, that was a. I have to say that was a stupid penalty for him to take tonight.
Well, especially this game.
But it was kind of funny. I mean, squirting the
he's got to be a little slicker about it, you know?
Yeah. He'll learn.
or he'll be out of the league. Yeah, you know, one of those two. You know.
Right.
I mean, he'll be skating extra laps along with the rest of the team.
Yeah. Right.
So... But also, you know, so we've had a lot of penalties, but also meanwhile our, and we've given up quite a few penalty kill goals, but meanwhile we've also been doing fairly well on the power play as of recent. The Wild have definitely picked up the pace there. I think last I heard we're at like 24% or something like that, like over the last, I want to say over the last 10 games or something like that, but... And that's probably down actually after tonight, but I think we only got one power play though tonight.
And it was at the end where they were already playing like garbage, so they basically had already given up at that point, you know.
Which you don't like to see that either, you know. That's the Wild, that they do have the ability to like burst out and have like a offensive burst where, you know. Even if they're down two or three goals, I think that they should still feel they're in the game. But then I suppose once it got to be 6-2, 7-2, oh, jeez. that was bad tonight. So what do you think has happened that, you know, our power play as of recently has kind of been much improved?
Guys taking more shots.
Taking more shots.
Playing a little less patty cake, which some games it seems better than others. But, I mean, obviously when they are shooting the puck, they're
getting quality chances, at least.
They're being productive about it. It's not, you know, how many times have we seen an entire power play where the puck stays around the perimeter of the ice? Yeah, they might have it in their zone the entire time, but it doesn't matter.
Doesn't do any good if you're not taking the shots.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. So, how about the penalty kill? I mean, We had a bomb penalty kill before, you know, like it was tough to score on the Wild, but it seems like they're flowing through like a sieve now.
It just all disappeared.
Yeah.
That's the part I don't really get. And maybe it's just the turnover with the team.
Yeah.
You know, where you miss some of the guys that, you know, I look at someone like Halla, who spent a lot of time on the PK, and maybe he wasn't the greatest, but I think he was pretty solid. He became a pretty solid player defensively.
Definitely. He was a force to reckon with as well with his speed on the penalty kills. I mean,
on the flip side, though, the Wild are scoring shorthanded goals.
They are.
So not at the same rate they're giving up power play goals or, PK goals or whatever, but...
not enough that we should be taking penalties for the majority of the game.
No. No, that's a bad strategy at this point, I think.
Well, they also gave up a shorty against St. Louis on Saturday to our buddy Kyle Brodziak.
Brodziak.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And that's about the Wild week. I mean,
again, the roller coaster, two wins, two losses.
Right. I mean, you look back at the week and, yeah, the Wild did end up coming out. You know, they got 4 points out of the week. You know, they're 500 for the week.
Right.
But really, though, what disappoints me the most is that the games that really counted, like especially when we're playing the St. Louis's and the Winnipeg's, who are, you know, those ones that are up on the division. Number one, you should be coming to those games like this is our time to, you know, tear down the guy on top, you know,
right.
Pull him down from the hill, you know, a little king of the hill, push him down, right? But, you know, we didn't jump on any of those opportunities. Even tonight, you know, we came out, we got the early lead.
Yeah.
So I would think that, you know, we can play with these teams, but I don't know. I don't know the answers. If I did know the answers, I guess I would probably be behind the bench. So, but right now I'm just behind the mic.
So I'm thinking here. There's a, and I know we talked a little bit about this pre-show. An article in the Wall Street Journal about the death of slap shots. You know, Wall Street Journal of all places, the death of the slap shot in the NHL. And considering how much the Wild plays the perimeter, I mean, tonight is a great example of that. Do you think maybe if the rules were changed and more of the slap shots were encouraged, the Wild would do a little bit better? I know in that article, I think if you search for a slap shot, Wall Street Journal, it'll probably pop up as an article. But there's, you know, there's two suggestions in that article. One is the one that I think the NHL has been talking about for a while, is making the net a little bit bigger,
mm-hmm.
which I'm actually less in favor of. Because I think you got to control the goalie pads, because potentially pads will just get bigger,
right.
or they'll just find bigger goalies somehow,
right?
To crowd the net somehow,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But and I don't remember the guy's name, but he had suggested that one solution would be to have a 2-point line, whereas if you score from that point. Or that beyond that line, I don't know if that would be
worth more.
It's worth more, kind of like the 3-point line in basketball.
Yeah.
And so I was going to ask you guys, what would you think about having a 2-point line?
Well, now, so but a tip in.
It's beyond that, the line, so that'd be like an alley oop. I mean, that's still even if you shoot it from a 3-point spot,
and then somebody grabs it, then it's only the two.
Yeah.
Three. So okay, fair enough. Like that, I could like that.
How is that going to work for empty netters?
That's a good question. I mean, I think you have to make that a judgment call then. And if it's an empty net, then that's probably just a 1-point.
Well, then wouldn't people just pull their goalies more often?
I don't know.
Why, you'd still lose a goal. Or you'd still be down by another goal if one somebody goal. Scores on it.
Do you want to be in your defensive zone with no goalie? I mean,
maybe. Or maybe the goalie becomes more of a hybrid, like goaltender skater. Mm.
Well, up until the red, up until the center line,
right? you know, a defenseman basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. No worse than Suter.
Yeah. Don't send him any further than mid ice.
Well, he can't. Well, unless you change the rules with the goalies, he can't go past mid ice.
But if he's not wearing goalie equipment,
yeah.
Right.
You know, kind of like you would when you pull your goalie for six man, you know.
Just get some really big normal gloves.
I mean, honestly, there's no reason teams can't do that right now. They just want to skate six skaters and pull their goalie at the beginning of the game. There's nothing stopping them from doing that.
Like, the Wild might as well have done that tonight, the way they were the way they were leaving Stalock out to dry, you know.
Well, right? Maybe having a third D back there would have been better.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe they'd block more shots if they had to deal with if they were the only, you know, like the last line of defense. You know, not that the Wild don't block shots. I think they do pretty pretty good blocking shots.
If they're talking
shots.
2-point line, let's get real crazy and do like a Globetrotters thing and have like a 5-point circle.
A 5-point circle.
Put it in the trapezoid, the opposite trapezoid. Yeah. So we get some weird, like, hybrid Ron Hextall.
Patrick Waugh.
Patrick Waugh was, what's his head?
Waugh that skated past the line, right?
Right. Well, I was thinking from the your trapezoids, kind of like, what's his head? Devil's goalie.
Brodeur.
So like a Brodeur Hextall guy that is shooting for the net from there. If they can score, you know, from there, why not 5 points?
Yeah. Isn't that kind of getting into the whole foosball thing where if the goalie scores and it doesn't touch anybody, it's worth 2 points?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we need less goalie shooting, though. Yes. I don't know that anyone's clamoring for goalies to be shooting.
Right. No, usually you're cringing when they're, you know, out into the corners and looking to make a pass. You know, like, just leave it there for somebody to come pick it up.
Let a real hockey player go.
Let a real hockey player go.
I kid.
No. But, I mean, realistically, they probably would never do a 2 point.
Yeah,
well, it's a 2 point goal.
I'm pretty sure the dude from the NHL said that. Yeah, that's never going to happen. We've never thought about it. Yep. But if you want to increase scoring, I mean, that's one way to do it. You know.
Yeah.
And it incentivizes, and that was one thing the article made a point of, was that the slap shot. You know, I remember as a kid that was what you wanted to do, but they don't teach kids how to do that now because there's no incentive to do it because of the way the equipment's designed. You know, you can fire off a wrister a lot quicker than doing the big wind-up back scratcher, you know?
And, you know, to the defense there, too, I saw Dumba tonight when we were on the penalty kill. I mean, he took one from the Wild's goal line, wound up, and ripped it. And, I mean, that thing, it had airtime the entire way down the ice. Like, that's a pretty damn awesome slap shot right there.
Right.
And then it had, like, enough on it down there that, like, it, you know, takes a funny bounce off of the boards or whatever up into the air. And I can't remember who was coming down who had a shot at it in front of the net there still. But, I mean, you know, I don't know. That was myself when I played hockey. I prided myself on my slap shot.
One of the last Wild players I remember even taking a lot of slap shots was probably Rolston. He always had a bomb of a shot. And, I mean, that's not that long ago. We're only talking, what, 4 or 5 years ago? Maybe 6?
But it is mostly these days. Like, most of the times you're trying to finesse it into the slot area, that high percentage scoring area, into the slot area or right in front of the net waiting for a bounce and a rebound or a tip.
I say just keep taking the slappers.
Yep.
You know what? People want to block them. That's your risk of getting injured at that point. Take the shots and you're going to maybe see players less likely to block the puck, depending on who's doing it.
Maybe we just
let the goalie do his job at that point.
Maybe we just take pads away in general.
Hey, I'm
no, get rid of helmets.
Get rid of the goalie mask. Yeah, get rid of the helmets. Or let the helmets go again. You know, when was the last time we saw a hockey player playing without a helmet? Savard? Was he the last
one? He might have been one of the last ones, yeah, that got grandfathered in. Well, even just seeing players without visors now is getting rare.
Yeah.
Bufflin, I noticed that tonight.
He still plays without one?
He got grandfathered in, yep. So he doesn't have to.
Yeah, but most all of them do, yeah.
You know, it's funny because I just had this conversation.
Craig McTavish is the last player.
The last one?
McTavish, okay.
Yep.
About pads with NFL players and how with the concussions and the injuries are getting more and more, and it's basically our consensus was take the pads away and you'll have these guys taking less stupid hits, you know, if they're more likely to injure themselves with less padding.
Right.
You know, rugby players don't have that many pads on. You don't hear about all the concussion and major injuries that you do with NFL players.
Why do you think people fly, you know, 70, 80, 90, 100 miles an hour down the freeway these days. They feel pretty well protected with all these airbags and things that come out.
Yeah, but I see people do that on motorcycles too.
Yeah, that's true. But more biker is a special breed, I think. Because you got really, especially these days, if you're out there riding a bike, you got to know that, like.
Well, you should be on the defensive.
You should be on the defensive, and but either way, I mean, you got to go out there knowing that, like, you know, I'm going out here unprotected. You know, I'm going for I don't know what it is, like a thrill or a I don't know, like what adrenaline rush, sure, or something right. that. So whatever that is that you're going for when you're riding a bike. I have uncles who like to ride bikes, and one uncle in particular who's, you know, had several motorcycle accidents within his lifetime. And it's, you know, and then there's some people who aren't so lucky, you know. And I even had a buddy this past summer, you know, wasn't even a car or anything like that. There was like a bolt in the middle of the freeway or whatever. And that's the thing, is like, you got no defense against any of that stuff. No. You know? I mean, luckily everyone I know is still all upright after, you know, their bike accidents and everything, but
it's not to get too far off topic, but it is one of those things where it's like, even the safest, most alert motorcyclist doesn't stand a chance if you've got a couple inattentive drivers,
right,
or crap on the road,
yeah,
or conditions are less than perfect, mm-hmm, because once, you know, it rain or get something else going on,
oh yeah,
you know, nighttime, I mean there's plenty of you know, motorcyclists that won't bike at night because it's they had a danger
to see them. Yeah,
yep,
definitely.
All right. Enough of the slapshot talk.
Yeah.
Let's go to the wild card.
All right, wild card. Here we come.
So kind of continuing it with the slapshot a little bit.
Right.
A guy who ended up kind of taking not quite a slapshot, but a shot, took out Coyle a while back. Spurgeon. He was actually sidelined this game with the flu.
Out with the flu tonight.
Maybe he should have had a shot.
Yay. while we're a little concerned that...
Sorry.
Thank you.
I missed my duty, sir.
That they were just in St. Louis shortly after Oilers were, who apparently have been flu-ridden. So hopefully this is not a trend that we see coming up, because quite honestly, I don't know. Maybe it would be good to get some of these guys sick and just shuffle some lines again. Who knows? But other than that, I think the only other major player we still have out is Parisi, which I have not seen any updated timetables on his return yet. It sounds like he's feeling better, but, you know.
We'll see. Because weren't they saying late December or something?
Could be.
Maybe, yeah.
I question whether, once he gets back, if he'll even be, how useful he'll be. I mean, because... It's a back injury. It's not like, I don't know. I'm very, very pessimistic on his ability to return and be a productive member of this team. I mean, I hope I'm wrong, but
yeah.
His game isn't a perimeter game. And we put him on the perimeter, he's not as effective. So I'm not optimistic here.
Well, you know what Parisi's not helping right now? is my three-in-the-box power play team that I've yet to have him play a single game.
I bet you a lot of fantasy teams are either wondering how much longer they're going to hold him on an IR, or I suppose some teams could be looking to swoop in and grab him once he's available as well.
That would be... I'm pretty sure I have Parisi in there.
Do you?
Northeast
Stars.
Yeah.
Speaking of three-in-the-box power play, though, we, I think since we're about a quarter of the season in, are due for an update on where we all stand.
Okay.
So, without going into too much number bull stuff, we're all actually really tight with amongst our scores. So I think it was like 30, 29, 27, something like that. The interesting thing is, though, is that Teamy McTeamface actually is not the bottom feeder in three categories, and we all happen to be that zero in each of those categories.
In one of them.
Except for Aaron. He's down in two categories.
Okay.
As well, and you can thank Kyle Quincy for that, because Teamy right. McTeamface just jumped up in penalty minutes. So my question is, though, is I want to kind of take a look at these numbers and see if there's something, like, with our players, if it's something that we feel will change throughout the year, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So let's just start with the first one going across, the plus minus. Aaron, you are currently the lowest in that with a minus 18 with your combined players. Teamy McTeamface is a minus 11, so that's where he's beating you at. Now, looking at...
which, there's a lot of minuses there.
I'm the only one in the positive in that category. If that,
I'll just say the Wild as a team are struggling right with now. A plus minus.
I tell you what, when you give up 7 goals or 6 goals in a game, there's going to be a lot of dudes with minuses.
Right.
So, Aaron, your players right now, you think they're going to get out of that negative territory?
Considering the team I've got, Cullen doesn't get enough ice time, and he's playing a low line, so I'm not optimistic he's going to make a whole lot of rebound. Coyle has missed some time, so hopefully he can turn things around. Spurgeon and Koivu, I put them on they play a lot, so if the team's doing well, they should be able to recover as well. The one wild card would be Foligno. He's basically down there with Cullen, so I'm not optimistic he's going to really be much of a contributor either there.
Coyle coming back, though, you know, he's scoring currently.
Yep.
So hopefully that helps and, you know, digs you out of that a little bit. The next one that we have is the penalty in minutes, the PIM. This one is actually a very tight race kind of all around, too. So this could jump around. Not really a category you want to be leading, but somehow I managed to take the lead on that. And Jive was supposed to be the team that was going to have all the scrappers and the guys taking the penalties. And he's actually got the least amount of penalty minutes, which is kind of surprising.
Yeah.
Jive, you think? Yeah.
I think that it'll work itself out in the end. I don't know. I don't have a lot of input on that, I guess.
And then the last one, hits. I'm really, really low on this, but I don't really have a team of guys that hits much, so I got a feeling I'm going to be rounding this one out in the bottom come the end of the season.
Especially when they're not on the ice. They don't.
Yeah, exactly. there might be the potential of, you know, Parise getting some hits added to his card just if he's playing down in the dirty areas.
You've got the no-hit team, though. You got Stahl, Parise, Suter, Brodin. Nino's the only one that will give you any hits, so yeah, good luck with that.
I'm thinking I'm going to be finishing this one off in the bottom at the end of the season.
Oh, I got Granlin, though, man. He's out there knocking people around.
A hit machine.
Yeah.
with that, that's kind of where we stand right now. Jive has a full 20 extra games played than I do. So.
And you're still above me.
Yeah, right? I am.
So what, you're feeling rather confident that we're not going to throw you in the lake with a Penguins jersey on?
As of right now, yeah. Although I'm thinking, looking at this, I don't see anybody getting tossed in the lake right now.
Nobody's going to get tossed in the lake.
This season is early.
Yeah. Remember, we're only a quarter of the way through here.
Not even December yet.
So that's kind of where we stand right now with our power play. Coming up Thursday, while we're playing, we actually have two games this week, both at home. First one is against the Vegas Golden Knights. They'll see them for the first time ever. They're currently on a 5-game win streak. Play Dallas at home on Thursday or on Tuesday before coming here on Thursday. So with Hall and crew coming back to the X, in the Wild's recent getting blown out trend, how will they fare against the number three team in the conference?
Sounds to me like it's time to bring in a new franchise into Minnesota. These expansion teams, man. Right? That's where it's at.
Oh, just a reset again?
Yeah, might as well. Let's get a whole new team.
Let's send the Wild down to Houston.
Actually, is it Houston that was looking for it? They were in talks with the team again? I think it was.
There's, I mean, it's depending on the day. I think the NHL is trying to play cities against each other to either move teams to places that would have a new stadium built or get teams to fight or cities to fight over bidding, you know, for that those new teams.
Right.
So, the
Seattle, Houston.
Seattle, Houston, Quebec City. You know, I think there's a few of them that
Hartford
are in, the mix.
In there again.
I don't think. Well, I think they talked about it, but you know, what is Hartford going
to
do? I mean,
I don't know that Hartford would be able to.
I don't know if they can support a team, right. You know.
So then on Saturday we have a rematch with St. Louis a week after the last blowout. So you know they have a chance at rebounding against the hot Blues team right now in their home arena.
I have a feeling a week from now we're going to be, I'm feeling after tonight, it's hard to be positive and optimistic about this team. You're going up against Vegas, who's just hot. I mean,
they're hot.
They're hot. They're leading the Pacific. And
that's what she said.
And then you're going against St. Louis, who's leading the Central. So you really have the top two teams in the West that you're going to be facing. Against a team that is struggling to stay out of the cellar of the center of the Central. So I'm not optimistic about either game.
So you think we're going to be talking about two losses come Monday?
I'm or a four-game losing streak on top of that.
Yeah, at least there's only two games to lose this week.
Right.
All right, that's so, what we have coming up.
Twitter talk, I think. Right. Time for Twitter. Time for the tweeters. First question from Uncanny_Megan. Why does the camera cut away during fights?
Thanks for getting that underscore in there.
It's important, man.
It is.
You know,
I suppose when you're listening, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Why does the camera cut away during fights? Example, 7:34 p.m., second period in the Buffalo game. It all depends. It depends if it's one of those just like they're trying to squeeze in. One, it depends if they're trying to squeeze in a TV timeout because they're like, okay, they're just like dancing around right now. Especially if it's kind of later in the period, they might be more willing to say, okay, this is going to be ending in a stoppage anyway. Yeah. Let's just try to get some commercials in here. I don't know.
I think part of it too is the whoever's the producer and whoever's on camera, because if there's action going on and the fight's behind the play, the camera guy's going to be on the action because that's what he's getting paid to do. If the producer doesn't catch up on it from a different camera or notice it, he's not going to be able to cut to it right away.
Yeah, because sometimes things do start to pick up just as they're already starting to go to commercial break, and then it's like, well,
exactly,
the ship has sailed at that point. You can't pull it back. So I think.
I mean, it's not that I don't think they're intentionally trying to avoid the fighting because it's obviously it's accepted in hockey as of right now. It's not like baseball or football where it's, you know, or basketball where it's seen as more taboo or they don't want to show it. So I don't think it's anything intentional.
Next question coming in from Uncanny_Megan. Why did the Wild wear whites at home?
I think if I remember hearing something is because it was a Black Friday game and they were doing a whole black and white thing.
But they've done it in the past where they're doing like a white out. Yeah. And,
this one here was black and white is how they were promoting it, and they changed their logo to black and white on their other social media pages, and even all their pre and post game like images, like ads and whatever for it, hype for it, were all done black and white, and only the logo, the sponsor logos were in color.
See, they should have just went all black if it's Black Friday. Yeah. Color the ice black.
Ooh.
So you can't see the puck.
With the white puck.
That would be awesome.
Or a white puck, yeah. Or bring back Fox Tracks.
No.
Fox
no.
Tracks. But you have to do it in person, so you, it has to be like flaming or something.
Right. No.
So you can see it. The players.
Speaking of that.
Players need to be able to see the flaming puck.
Speaking of that, when are we going to get our flame ball game going?
Never.
You didn't hear this one?
No.
Soak a tennis ball in gasoline and go out and play hockey?
This doesn't sound like a good idea.
It sounds like a great idea.
It didn't sound like something old people do, and I think I'm old at this point.
All right, last question.
Did you ride your bike here today, Kenny?
No.
Okay.
He did a sick jump on the way here.
Radical, dude.
Radical.
Last question from Uncanny _ Megan. These boards seem more wiggly. Any studies done on more forgiving boards and player safety? Minnesota, St. Louis. I don't know.
Go ahead.
Was something with the end boards, with the glass, that they try not to make it completely rigid.
Right. And, I mean, it goes in with the, I mean, it's physics, right? It's something to absorb that energy. I mean,
right.
You know, especially, you know, you never know which direction you're going to be going into the boards, whether it's head first or shoulder first or feet first. So I don't know. I'm sure that at some point they've done studies on it, but you know, a little forgiveness in the boards I think is a good thing. I think a better question even could be, you know, how does that cause for puck reactions? You know, we see some of these you know, weird and funny bounces come off the boards sometimes.
I think we have more problems with the stanchions than we do with...
Well, and that's, you know, I don't know how you would get around that unless unless they're, like,
totally, well, they had the seamless ones.
Seamless, right.
They had the seamless ones, and they got rid of them for some reason.
Because there's no give to them, I mean, then, so...
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's it.
But it's a better view for the... For the fans, though.
Well, then you know? Get the ones that are like the, what's it, St. Louis's are all blue, aren't they? Nashville is
yellow, wasn't it? Or were they blue? I don't, I feel like there's a few teams that are doing like the colored stanchions.
Right.
You know, I don't think it's that one team anymore. I think.
There's, because I know I remember seeing red somewhere too, Washington maybe.
So next question from Mr. Derek Felska at Crease and Assist. Which is worse, Kyle Quincy or Mike Riley playing defense for the Wild or drinking a can of Natty Light?
You got a coin.
Quincy has been pretty terrible. Definitely not worth the money we're paying. Riley, I think I don't think Riley's been any worse than Dumba or tonight Brodin. Dumba's been streaky this year, so...
Dumba's been very streaky, more so on the bottom side of that.
I mean, is Riley a world beater at this point? No, but, you know, Natty Light isn't very good for beer.
It's not, but, you know, sometimes you just have to take what you can get, though, right?
Sometimes you just need a beer... And you'll drink what you drink.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just need a defenseman,
right?
take what you can get.
Exactly.
So, another one here from Crease and Assist. Three in the box. The Las Vegas Golden Knights are the top of the Pacific Division right now. It mentions again here, we're a quarter of the way into the season now, so... you know, will they make the playoffs? And if they do, how far do you think they will go?
At this point, I think they are. I mean, after the expansion draft, I completely felt that this team was going to be a solid team. I mean, they got quality players from several teams, including the Wild. I think they're a team that has a chance. The biggest caveat right now is they've got three injured goaltenders. And I don't know, they need some health in the net there. if they're going to sustain any sort of long run, because we know goaltending wins you playoffs.
They need some hookers and blow.
Or Jared Stoll, I guess.
Right. All right. Also from Mr. Derek Felska at Crease and Assist. They're in the box. Ryan Suter was out on the ice for the shorthanded goal in the third period of their game against the Blues. Has he lost his power play mojo, or did he... Or did he ever really have any power play mojo to begin with? I don't think he lost it. I think it was just kind of a...
Yeah, I don't know that Suter has necessarily power play mojo, but, you know, there is still something to be said. Like, when Suter is on the ice, you feel fairly comfortable, though, that you're not going to get burned like that.
Right.
And that was a rare occasion, you know. So, yes, Suter is a human. Even though he can play, like, the entire game on the ice, he is a human.
I am a robot. Buy Quick Trip products.
Yes. Got my robot family a quick snack. Okay.
Okay, next question, also from Derek Felska. Rumor has it Nate Prosser might become available via waivers. Should Chuck Fletcher bring back number 39, or has the team been there, done that, and should pass on bringing him back a third time? Jive, what are you thinking?
Well, I know your answer already, Aaron, but I'm going to answer opposite of you. I would say that at this point in the season, we're struggling with a couple of younger defensemen. I would be open to, you know, the option of bringing in somebody who's got, you know, some, you know, a little bit more experience. And if you are serious about trying to make some sort of a playoff run, why wouldn't you want to bring in somebody who's got a little bit more veteran experience like that?
I'm going to say pass.
I'm going to say pass.
I knew it.
You called it. I don't think he's an upgrade over Riley or Quincy. I think he's one of the same, and he's going to cost us money that we don't have.
Yeah,
because of the cap. So,
well, for me, I think that, like, if you're comparing it to, like, what he would bring us over Riley, the problem that I have with Riley is I feel that defensively, he is actually, you know, he's serviceable, I guess.
Sure.
He can work there. He's probably a little bit more of an offensive threat, I guess, as a defensive man. But that's not really what we're needing right now. Right now, we need, you know, somebody who can stay back and be a smart defenseman and make plays. Now, and I know that, you know, you'll probably pick Prosser apart because you'll say he makes all sorts of stupid plays or whatever. But
I mean, I don't have a thing against Prosser. I mean, as much as I talk crap about him,
okay.
I think that he was with the Wild team that had no real depth in defense.
Yeah,
any team that has depth at defense shouldn't be playing Nate Prosser. So I think the moment we bring him in, that's an admission that we have zero depth in D, and that's a problem for a team that aspires to go to the playoffs.
We shouldn't be admitting that already?
I think it's a little too soon.
Oh, okay.
All right.
You heard it here first, folks. next question from Crease and Assist. Three in the box. If you could add a movie character to the Minnesota Wild organization for comic relief, inspiration, or for any reason you can think of, who would you add and why? Also, what would that character bring to the organization?
That's a tough one.
That is.
I want Joe Pesci's character from Home Alone. That guy can take a walloping and he keeps on moving, man.
I like that thought.
What does he bring to the team? What does he bring to the organization?
you know, he can have like six guys on top of him, kicking the crap out of him and free up everybody else.
Another face to be punched?
Yeah, you know.
Kanapka?
Kanapka part two.
Yeah.
Well, I think the obvious answer is Neo from the Matrix, because he can just slow everything down and then he'll put him in goal or do whatever, and he'll be deflecting pucks and doing all sorts of crazy stuff. Ooh. So that's going to be my choice.
You can stop the pucks by thinking about it.
Probably.
Wow, a Neo goaltender.
Neo Niederreiter.
I could see that. I mean, you guys went kind of, we've got a punchy face. We've got a
punchy face.
We've got a magician who can, magically work things. Why don't we, just bring humor? Bill Cosby, why not?
Too soon. Too soon.
I mean, as long as everyone's of age and in the locker room, we might be okay.
Wait a minute. But aren't we one of the teams? We don't have any of the ice girls that go and...
Oh, so he should be safe then.
Yeah, see? This is a safe place to bring him into.
Gators at halftime. At halftime.
Sport? What? You've been hanging around another sport too much, I think.
On commercial breaks, we have the ice girls that go around and clean off the ice.
We do?
Yeah. When's the last time you were at a Wild game?
A couple weeks ago, but I saw they were wearing like track suits and stuff.
Well, right, but it's still ice girls.
Okay, but it's not like what you saw the other night at the Blues.
Or the old school when the North Stars were here. They had the dance team or whatever it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
From Creason Assist, what is the best holiday, any holiday movie of all time, in each of your opinions?
I'm a sucker for A Christmas Story.
That is a great classic.
Yeah. Yeah, shoot your eye out, you know?
I think that we've got it three ways. Getting your tongue. Obviously, my tongue is stuck, right? Getting your tongue stuck on
the pole. Yeah.
Yes.
Easy second runner-up is National Lampoon's Christmas.
Yeah.
I mean,
nobody's a Macaulay Culkin fan?
I already brought up Home Alone.
You did. You didn't bring up Macaulay Culkin.
No. So, Jive, what's your holiday movie?
He's such a cute little guy, right? Favorite Halloween movie?
A holiday movie.
Oh, a holiday movie?
Yeah, any holiday.
He said any holiday.
Yeah, what's your favorite?
Halloween.
Oh, Halloween.
Yeah.
Straight up Halloween.
Yeah.
All right. I was actually
Michael Myers, right?
Thinking Halloween 2, but Charlie Brown's Halloween.
Halloween 2 or
no,
Halloween
also
2? Halloween also.
I'm going with Charlie Brown Halloween.
Okay.
Just because for whatever reason, like when he was going across the lake on the boat, it always freaked me out as a kid. I don't know why.
Well, and then we also skipped over Charlie Brown Christmas, too, you know?
Eh.
That's not as good. Oh, come on. And then they're up there doing their little Christmas carol.
All right.
Mark for life.
Next question.
Trains and Automobiles. That's a good one.
That's another good one. Creason Assist. Wild prospect Kirill Kaprizov said the Wild didn't make much of an effort to talk to him prior to the World Championships. Are you buying his story? Or is this posturing for a guy who wants a lot more than fifth round money? Or he doesn't want to come to the U.S.
There's been a few things North America. Because he also changed up his agent too in the midst of all this as well, according to Russo. So I don't know. From one side I heard is that his people would not let the Wild people talk to him, and then the other side says, you know, he hasn't heard anything and the Wild hasn't made any type of reaching out to him or whatever. So it's kind of Who do you want to believe? What actually is going on? I don't know. I don't really want to say much about it, not knowing exactly full details on it, but he's making money right now, and I guess good for him. He's playing hockey.
Yeah, and I don't know enough about the situation, I guess, to have a strong opinion one way or the other. But this is the world, and what it always usually, you know, people like to say it doesn't matter, but what usually always will always boil down to is money. So
pay the man.
Whether it's ruples or dollars, right? Do they still use ruples over there? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not on euros.
Nope.
They may use some U.S. dollars, though.
Yeah.
Or oil.
Bitcoin.
Right.
Bitcoin and oil.
Yeah, Bitcoin.
All right.
Oh, am I up?
Yeah, you're up.
Oh, I'm up. Where are we at? I lost my spot. Oh, here we are. Okay.
Jay Bushy.
There we go. Three in the box. I think it's time to send down Riley since he still doesn't need waivers and bring up a D that's, you know, more physical. Suchi or Sealer. Tonight we saw... Those were Bushy's recommendations. Tonight we saw Murphy come up.
Murphy
Ryan,
came up.
Yeah, Ryan Murphy. But, I mean, he's not a young guy. I mean, he's been in the league before. But
I'm still going to stick that, you know, as unimpressive as Riley has been up to this point, I don't know that we've got a better solution. Or at least a long-term solution.
Right.
I mean, maybe if you're searching for the hot hand to find someone who can maybe bring a little life to the decor, sure. I just have a tough time buying that person is in Iowa at this point.
I don't think, Iowa, I don't think is really, they don't have
but even
what we need.
Even at this point with Riley, would, you know, rather than him, you know, waffling down here on the, you know, the third line D pair, you know, maybe losing confidence, maybe gaining confidence. I mean, you're getting some game experience, but, you know, would he do better, you know, for confidence level and for his game to be, you know, the top line D again back down there in Iowa.
All right. From Crease and Assist, he asks us, he sent us a link to his video about the speaking Minnesotan, and he asked us to use some of the phrases. Well, fellas, I'll just clear this for all of us. That idea is not bad, so we'll move on.
That's interesting. All right, that next one is from Teresa Ferris at MNSoda 24. How often do you wish we could go back in time and not put a salary cap in place? And if we could do that, who would you want the Wild to target in free agency trades because money isn't a factor? I know a lot of people are happy that there's a salary cap because that adds parity. I kind of go back and forth only because I don't want big market teams to win everything and be able to buy their way to championships. But at the same point, if a team's making a lot of money, not having a salary cap in place means those players are getting paid commensurate to the money that the team is making. And I think that's, you know, a good thing because they are the product, if you will.
Right.
Leopold is not the product. I don't care that Leopold is making more money. I couldn't give two craps about that.
Yeah.
That being said, I don't want it to be New York, Chicago, L.A., Toronto, Montreal winning every single year. And if they could do that, I'm going to say I'm okay with the salary cap for now. I think the numbers aren't right. I think they're too tight, and I think restricting the years and how the contracts can be structured, I think that's hurting things.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess I'm okay with the cap.
She was asking who you might target it in free agency. Do you have any ideas for that?
I'm just asking how often do I wish we can go back in time, and I'm like, I don't wish that at all, actually.
So you're just looking for Nate Prosser then?
Yeah. Give me the Pross man.
See. Yep. Okay.
All right.
Next question comes in from E.B. Kelly. Three in the box. Super seems to be...
I think that's supposed to be Suter.
Okay.
That's got to be Suter.
Yeah. Super Suter. Right. Seems to be getting a lot of penalties. Is it my imagination, or is he getting called more? And if he is, why do you think he's doing it?
Well, he got one tonight, so...
Yeah, I thought the one tonight was...
It was kind of cheap.
It was.
You know.
That's, like, not even cheap on
it wasn't Suter's end. It was a soft call.
But, I mean, being a defenseman and wrapping up with guys in the corner, he's going to be getting called for that, especially if that's what the NHL is trying to crack down this year.
True, yep.
So I don't think it's his style of play. I don't think he's doing anything different. I think it's just the NHL, this is what they picked to crack down on this year, and because of being a defenseman and how he plays and whatnot, he's just going to be called out on it more, whether it's soft ones like it has been or it's something a little bit more obvious.
Well, and speaking of the crackdown, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but it does seem, though, that... either the players have learned their lesson and they are not slashing as much anymore, or the refs, you know, have kind of lightened up a little bit on the slashing. I haven't seen as many slashing calls as of late. I've seen more of like the holds or the trippings, but
right.
All the slashing calls that we were seeing at the beginning of the season, though, they seem to kind of have... dissipate.
Yeah. So. All right. Also from E.B. Kelly, to jump off a crease and assist question about Parisi, how is not putting Parisi on longtime injury reserve helping the cap? And if it's hurting it, why is he not on long-term injury reserve?
Yeah. You know, I've been pretty vocal about how they should have went the surgery route right away
last year at the beginning of the summer,
right? He'd be playing for us hopefully by this point,
right?
So I think the way the Wild have handled it has been dumb. I've been pretty vocal about that. So I don't know why they're doing what they're doing, unless it's a way to try to. I have no idea.
Even if they put him on long term injury reserve and it frees up that cap space, who do we have that we can pull up to even make up that amount of money, and who's going to be available for it, I think is something else to look at. And there's not much out there. So.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Last question. If Spurgeon is out for any length of time, this is also from E.B. Kelly, how will Wild replace him? Is he as good as he seems? I'm a huge Spurgeon fan. Have been since he signed, so I might be biased. Spurgeon is obviously, I think, a key player. I think he's been a little bit invisible this year compared to the way he's usually.
Yeah.
He's
playing in Suter's shadow this year.
He's just not present in the same way he has been in previous years, but that's not necessarily a slam on him. It just, you know, I'm used to him basically being a second goaltender, and either he hasn't had to do that, or he's just maybe not playing as well.
Well, I mean,
that's possible too.
Well, that and we're also used to seeing Spurgeon jump up in the play a little bit more. You know, not afraid to, you know, get in a little bit deeper into the offensive zone.
Sure.
Which, maybe they're still trying to, you know, feel each other out, but. Between him and Suter, you know, maybe he's having a little bit of, you know, oh, you go ahead with Suter, like letting him jump into the play a little bit more and, you know, staying back as that safety valve back there. But, yeah, I think that's one of the key things that's missing from his game this year, and I agree. I mean, with our already, you know, young defensive group, because really a lot of them are, you know, pretty young, aside from, you know, Suter's got quite a bit of experience. Spurgeon, I mean, he's
basically the second most tenured vet.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So.
He is tied for third on the team with 15 points right now with Granny and Koivu.
So. He's silently been amassing points.
The silent killer.
You know, he's only got 3 goals, but he does have 12 assists. So,
all right.
So you're saying he's silent but deadly.
Yes. Ooh. That's right. I don't have a fart.
Well, it's not going to hear it anyways. It's silent.
That's true.
All right. I think that's it. That's Twitter talk. Kenny, where can people find what you're up to?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Nostrakenius.
And Jive, how about yourself?
You can follow me. I'm on Twitter. I'm at Jive Midnight.
As for myself, you can find me on Twitter at Angry Finn. Thanks, everyone, for listening. You can follow us on Twitter or at 3inTheBox. If you got questions, send us those tweets, hashtag 3ITB. We'll read them. Otherwise, find our podcast on 3inTheBox.com or through Google Play Music or Apple Podcasts.
Wherever you get your podcast.
Wherever you get your podcast. Go look for us. Search 3inTheBox. You'll get us, you know, and yeah, thanks everyone for listening. Have a great night. Oof-da.
Woo!